Now, back to Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys who always tear up at the end of Finding Nemo.
You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And, Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line the Chief Executive Officer, or as she calls it, the Chief Embracer from Embrace Pet Insurance, Laura Bennett. Welcome back to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much. It's good to speak to you again.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you. And I swear, Laura, it's not just the accent. We really love the information that you bring to the program. For any of our listeners who may not have caught your previous appearances on the show, can you very briefly explain to our listeners exactly how Embrace came about and how your role with Embrace came about?
Well, yes, I started off, my background is in insurance, and I went to the Wharton School of Business to do my MBA. And while I was there, a friend's cat got sick, and she spent over $5,000 on her cat and thought, well, wow, I should have had pet insurance. And the reason she thought that, because most people would not naturally think about pet insurance, this is back in 2001, was that she was British. And in the United Kingdom, pet insurance is very common. And so she looked online and saw that there really wasn't very much available, and what was available perhaps wouldn't have been as effective as she would have liked. So she thought maybe there was a business idea in that. And to cut a long story short, four of us put together a business plan for the business plan competition, as you know you do it when you're doing your MBA. And we won the business plan competition with this idea of pet insurance. While I was doing it, though, I thought that this is something I would actually like to do for real. I mean, this is not just an idea. This is something that could really be helpful to people. And with my insurance background, and I've always grown up with pets, my mum was a veterinary technician at one point in her life. So it all added up to something that seemed very natural for me to do. So myself and Alex Kruglik, who were part of the team, we formed Embrace Pet Insurance in 2003 when we graduated from our MBA. And we we started selling policies in 2006. It takes a lot of hard work to get an insurance company set up, and we've been going ever since. It's been great.
Well, it's fantastic that you did.
Yeah. What is it that is the driving force for this? As far as you know, you've got a number of insurance companies out there. What would you say is unique or focused or most accomplished with your particular pet insurance?
Well, we started off introducing the customizable policy. Now, you know, most people are going to say, well, what does that mean and who cares? But what it does is it allows you to choose how you want your policy to look. So some people want a high deductible policy. We even offer $1,000 a year high deductible policy, and that's much less expensive than the other end of the scale, which would be the $100 a year deductible. But different people will have different needs. So it depends, you know, there's different maximums you can have. You can add wellness if you want it or not. All of these things, and you make the choice. It's up to you. So that would be our first difference. But the real impactful difference is that we cover hereditary conditions and chronic conditions, and we pay based on the vet bill itself, not a benefit schedule or a usual customary and reasonable table that you often hear of in human health insurance. And people find that they're much more likely to get what they expect than perhaps with other types of pet insurance.
So you started in 06. Now where are you at as far as the number of participants in your program, and how has it been? I mean, it sounded like a great idea in school. How has it played out in the real world?
It was very slow to start with. I like to view it as we sell sort of one pet policy at a time.
Uh-huh.
And that takes a very long time. We're up over, though, we're close to 18,000 pets insured, close to $9 million a year in annual premium. So we've come a long way, and we're very, momentum is picking up. is actually getting faster. It's not a case of peaking. We're actually, I guess, the proverbial hockey stick, which is what you actually always like to see. You know, it starts off really, really slow. But one of our big selling features is not us. We're not doing the selling. It is our pet parents who experience the plan. And when they have a claim and they get what they expected, in fact, perhaps more than they expected, they tell everyone. Because if you have to almost go through one of these experiences where you've had a very high unexpected vet bill and your insurance is there for you, and there is nothing like that freedom to be able to make the appropriate choice for the pet's health, not because your finances limit the your choices. So it's empowering. People feel empowered, and they love how we treat them. So they tell people, and that really has a huge multiplying effect, which is wonderful.
Well, Laura, one of the things that I find interesting, I was looking at some statistics about pet health, and a number popped up that said that 92% of all pets will experience some type of severe emergency situation over the course of their lifetime. Yet you look at the numbers, and last time you had mentioned that 1% of pets in the United States are insured. I actually have a stat that's showing that it's up to 3%. So your hockey stick is in evidence when it comes to that. But it makes me wonder if virtually every person who has a pet is going to experience something, then why is it that they don't think about the insurance, since the odds say they're going to need it at some point?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think there's a natural inclination to not think about the bad things that can happen and not basically to assume that they will happen to someone else and not to you. I actually came across an example recently where a woman had back surgery. So this is the pet parent had the back surgery, and all her friends sent her flowers for her recovery. And her two indoor cats, who nothing ever happens to, or don't get sick, no raccoons chasing them or anything like that, they ate the flowers. They thought there was a salad bar or something, and they were lilies, and lilies are very toxic to cats. And they were both in the emergency room, $1,500 each, plus $300 of follow-up care. And that was, poor thing, she's recovering from a serious surgery, had to take these cats in. And so no one thinks this is going to happen to them. And you can't buy the insurance after, when you need it. You can't buy it after the emergency has happened. You have to buy it before. And so I think it's a case of just being prepared and thinking about what would I do if a serious financial event should happen. I mean, it's bad enough that this emotional event is happening, but what would I do in that case? And also, I'd like to add that the $1,500 incident is not that uncommon, but what's more common is what I would call the creeping vet bill, where you go in, your dog starts limping, and you go in and you have multiple vet visits and you rule out a lot of things, but you're still not quite sure exactly what's causing this. And you've meanwhile, $800 later, you still don't know anything and you still got a limping dog. And you the choices are, do I keep spending the money? What am I going to do here? I can't afford this. And so it creeps up on you with the sort of diagnostics that need to get done. And there's so many incidences of that kind of thing as well that, this pet insurance would just prepare you. So people just need to say, I need to just buy the policy, pay my $30 a month, knowing that hopefully I never need it. I mean, that would be the best, outcome altogether. Your dog lives a lovely, healthy life and then passes away in his or her sleep, on their dog bed. And that would be lovely, but that doesn't often happen. And so you just have the pet insurance policy for the time that you do need it. And when you need it, you really are grateful that you have a good policy.
Now, for those listening in that aren't familiar procedurally, would they have to go to a particular vet in order to have your Embrace insurance, or would they be able to work with the vets they're familiar with?
That's a great question. And if you have a vet you love, you can go to any vet you want. And in fact, you don't need referrals to go to referral vets. The referral vet might ask you why you've shown up unannounced, but you know, there's no limits on that. And so you can go to any vet, and that's true actually with all the pet insurance that's out there. The way that it actually works is the pet insurance company does not pay the vet directly. You pay your vet bill, and then you submit the claim to us, and then we reimburse you the piece that's yours. So if you have a deductible and a co-insurance part and so on, we take all that into account and pay you the difference. And in the future, that might change, and there is some movement for connecting the veterinary practice management software with the insurance company software. It's in very, very, very early stages right now, but maybe in I'm being optimistic at saying 5 years, that might become a more common way of dealing with claims. But at least we may be able to get the claims electronically versus you having to fax in, paper to us.
Sure.
Now, Laura, I was looking at your website, and you had a segment on there called Six Tips for Buying Pet Insurance. And I would just like if you could briefly take us through each of these tips and explain why it's useful for the person to follow. The first one is, does the plan use a benefit schedule? Can you explain that to me?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the product designs out there would be to give a set limit for each diagnosis. So, for example, if your dog got diabetes, the maximum the insurance company would pay out per year for that diagnosis. And there are some companies out there that would have, sort of 8 pages of lists of these limits, which is fine if they didn't come into effect all that often, that it was just a way of capping very, very high expenses. But unfortunately, those limits don't tend to increase with inflation, and veterinary inflation is running between 5 to 7% a year. So they're staying fixed, and over, say, the course of 5 to 10 years, they suddenly become worth half of what they were. The other point is that if you live in New York or Orange County in California or any big urban center and you go to a referral hospital, I can almost guarantee you that you will be way over the benefit schedules that are out at the moment. It doesn't mean to say it's not that it's a good plan to have. It's just you need to be aware of the cost in your area. You tend to pay less in premium for plans that have a benefit schedule limit, but you have to be aware that you're quite likely to have capped payback, like reimbursements, when you actually make a claim. So you're exposing yourself to a higher risk, if you like, with these benefit schedule plans, but for lower premium. So you're making a trade-off, and you just need to be aware of that.
Okay. And another one is per incident limits. What do you mean by that?
So there are different ways to introduce limits into the plan. Any insurance company, any insurance policy of any kind does have limits. For example, the Embrace plan has an annual limit. So anything that happens in the year, you could have it all. If you had a $10,000 annual limit, it could all go to one incident like cancer, or a very serious surgery with intensive hospitalization and so on. That can all go towards one incident. If you have per incident limits, it's kind of adding a sub limit into it. So that means that if that cancer, if there was a lower sub limit of $2,000, then that would only be covered up to $2,000, even if your annual limit was $10,000. So it just limits smaller pieces. It's the same with a per incident deductible. If you ours is a per year deductible. Once you've met your deductible, it's done. If you want to if it's per incident deductible, it means that for every incident, the cancer versus an ear infection, there's a new deductible that comes into play. So you just need to be aware of it, and you likely pay less for per incident limits, but you get less back. Those are the trade-offs. Yeah.
Well, Laura, as has usually happened when we've had you on the show, we have so much to cover, and unfortunately, we've run out of time. But I want to thank you so much for appearing with us. And for any of our listeners who are interested, can you give your web address where they can get additional information about Embrace?
Absolutely. Web address is embracepetinsurance.com. Nice and easy.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with the chief embracer, Laura Bennett, from Embrace Pet Insurance. Thank you, Laura. We really appreciate the tremendous information you always provide.
Thank you. It was delightful to chat with you.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Williamson, the emergency vet, about how pet insurance does affect emergency care right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/MMPets. You can upload your own pictures and interact with other pet enthusiasts.